Morning, church. I'm not used to having that much space right there. You can tell it's summer. And, for those of you visiting with us, we are really thankful you're here. And we welcome you back. We keep saying if you miss a Sunday here, you've actually missed something. And you'll say, man, that happened, I wasn't here. Well, today we got the barbecue. And you can eat as much as you want, and we won't tell. I remember traveling back in the early 90s with two men who were attempting to control the gold bullion market, which means they were basically trying to control the sale of gold in the world. And they were that wealthy. And they asked for help in discerning what Christian ministries existed throughout Southeast Asia because they wanted to invest in those agencies, and so they invited me to come along with them. And it turned out to be one of the most confusing trips of my life. I wasn't used to excessive money. I wasn't used to excessive comfort. And the truth was, the comfort and the money weren't mine. I just benefited from being close to two men who had it. And I found myself dealing with very real mind games. Because as we traveled in executive first class, and I would stay in entire suites in five-star hotels, I just found that if you aren't careful, you will begin to look at people differently. I knew I was blessed. And the subtle part was that I started to believe that I deserved to be treated as blessed. And it moved from being given a generous gift to feeling entitled, that people should treat me with more respect. And it was all because of somebody else's blessing. Every one of us are vulnerable to having blessing turn into distraction. So we can end up pursuing the blessing more than pursuing the one who's providing the blessing. Think of the blessings you've received from God. And by that, I really mean seriously, just pause and think about the blessings that you know God has been giving to you. Factor into your thinking His kindness, His favor. Like, why you and not someone else? Think about how He has been generous in providing for your needs in life. Is there anyone here who does not enjoy the favor of God? So when God showers us with favor, it really becomes tempting to pursue the favor more than the lordship of God. And we can easily enjoy the favor without realizing that it can become the distraction. And whenever I obtain something that I value, if I don't understand how it relates to Jesus being Lord of my life, it will tempt me to believe that I can find fulfillment in that thing that I value more than I can find completeness in God. It's possible to be so taken up by God's kindness to us that we end up forgetting where we came from. And when that happens, we honestly will begin to stop caring about people around us. Paul says, what happens to others matters. And yet many are going to tell you today that it isn't our business to be thinking about the lives of other people. The reality is they're wrong. It is our business. And Romans 15 begins with these words, but we who are strong. When you've been raised in the church or at least attended church long enough, it's easy to begin to think that we kind of get it. We know the answer to a lot of the verses of the Bible. And we can explain to people what it means to be a Christian, and people begin to seek us out and ask us questions. But when you think of these words, "we who are strong," certain people will come to your mind. Who do you think of when you think about "we who are strong"? Do you include yourself in that? Who would that be at Redemption Church? What's the determining factor that would place people in this category of strength? Implied here is that being strong is actually a good thing. It's something that every one of us should be seeking. That we are strong as individuals in our walks with God. I've been in churches where the majority of people would say, "you know what, that's not me." They saw the strong people as those who led the church, and so that would mean they were going to be board members, or they were going to be elders, or they were going to be some kind of teachers, those who might have a Bible school degree, or those who had been raised in the church at least. And so many felt that if they didn't fill a position, or if they hadn't been a Christian for a long time, they wouldn't be classified as one of the strong ones. So let me tell you who the strong ones are. The strong are those whose focus is very clear. They don't have to hold positions. They don't have to have been raised in the church. The strong are those who love God and have chosen to obey God. They've chosen to obey what He tells them to do. And their value isn't determined by what position they hold or how much blessing that they've received. They don't compare themselves to other people because their criteria is only based on what God thinks of them. And sometimes you find that in the very young, and I love being here at Redemption. I love it because I have seen many of you demonstrate strength among us, and you are, compared to me, very young. Thank you. To begin with, you don't need a lot of personal attention for you to feel comfortable with yourselves. But we who are strong ought to bear with, and bear with in Greek literally means to pick up, to carry on ourselves, the failings of the weak. And the word "strong" here means that you are able. You have the capacity. You have the strength to be influential. It can include aspects of wealth. In other words, if you hold a position, positions can help people. Money can help people. And there have been times in my own journey where I have sensed Holy Spirit say to me, "just put 20 bucks in your pocket today. I'll show you later who's going to need it." And sure enough, sometime during the day, I will meet someone and Holy Spirit says, "give them the money." And you know you heard right when they tear up and they start telling you their story and you realize that your $20 was an answer to their prayer. Sometimes people need help in finding housing, especially in kids. Sometimes people need a job. This word "strong" includes the aspects of you being in a position where you can actually influence those kinds of things. But it's not restricted to that. You might be flat broke and still be strong. Included in the meaning of the word is character. Your soul is in a good place. You already know how precious you are. You already have accepted the fact that God likes you. And it makes it easier for you to like you. You know, we usually don't get to the place of well-being without having had someone come alongside us and invest in us at some time in our lives. It's not as though Paul is asking us to do something for other people that others haven't done for us. If you are one of those who fit into this grouping of the strong, remember how others have affirmed you. And notice what he says to you. But we who are strong ought to. You know what Paul's not saying? He's not saying, I think this would be a good idea. The word ought is the same obligation that you would have if you owed money. Or if you were in debt, it is something we owe. You who are strong have a debt to pay. You who are strong, come alongside those who need encouragement. Come alongside those who are going through a rough patch in life. Come alongside those who are young in their faith and are struggling with lust or addictions or just inappropriate behavior. You who are strong, carry those people for a season. Build into them and help them become strong so that they are able to invest in other people. And just to make sure that those who are strong stay strong, Paul adds to it. He says, do it for the right reason, not just to please ourselves. You know, church can be a funny place. Just being in the building can cause some people to act differently. They change their behavior. I remember as a kid being told, don't run in church. Well, you know, it's hard to play tag and not run. Like, no one told me I wasn't to play tag in church. I think adults don't think like children. There was a total disconnect for me. What does running and not running have to do with being able to play tag? When my son was a teenager, he was working through a series in his own life, his identity. And he'd always wear his ball cap in church. One sweet old man would always come up and tell him, you can't wear your hat in church. So those who wear hats in church, I'm not talking to you. Didn't know, Simon, you sit in the front row. Wait for it, it gets better. The real point of what I was trying to say was that the church has, at least for some people, become a place where you live at a standard you don't have to live at anywhere else. There's a good side to that. Because it teaches us something about holiness, something about reverence, something about the importance of holding things as precious. The sad part of that is it usually ends up more as a list of do's and don'ts. So as long as you live within the rules, you're welcome. If you broke the rules, the church could quickly become a tough place to feel safe in. So church often became a building instead of a group of people. A group of people who are committed to live with each other. So church, are you hearing me? Church, Are you hearing me? In that context, people's value becomes easily measured by what they can contribute to the group. So what happens to the person who feels that they don't have anything to contribute? What happens to the people who feel they don't know a lot about religion? What happens to the people who haven't been in church before and don't know how to act? What happens if you're not one of the strong ones? Well, Paul tells us to notice the other people in the room. When we gather together, this is our chance to meet new people. This is our chance to look for ways to encourage them in their life journey. And Paul goes on to say, let each of us please his neighbor for his neighbor's good to build him up. And it's interesting to realize that Paul is saying here that one of our main responsibilities in life is to ensure that we help other people understand about life as God described it. The word neighbor is referring to any person you come across. It isn't just those who attend Redemption Church, it's anyone. And for your information, this isn't actually my idea. That's what the word says and what it literally means. It literally means, when it says neighbor, that it is any person you chance to meet anytime during your week. It's not always easy to be kind. It's not always easy to care. It's hard to not respond based on how things impact us. Sometimes people are just cruel. So Paul reminds us by saying, even Christ did not please himself. And the reality is, as you live that way, God's pleasure rests on you. Living to help other people discover the love that God requires us to be strong. Be strong because we are asked to think about someone other than ourselves. Stop and think about how hard that is. Especially in our culture today, when you are told you don't need to think about anybody but yourself. If you think about anybody other than yourself, you are interfering in their lives. So we are being taught constantly about the importance of being isolated. Our deepest friendships come through our phones. Scripture is saying that is not healthy. You who are strong, understand where your identity rests, that God loves you. God likes being with you. You can look in the mirror and say, I like that person. And then when you step outside of your place of isolation, you will constantly be meeting other people. Casually, on a sidewalk, in places of work, in places of entertainment, you will meet hundreds of other people. And Scripture is inviting you to notice and to care. And to the best of your ability, bless them. So I leave you this morning with a benediction. It too is in Romans 15. If you want to review the passage of Scripture today, you would find all these verses in one chapter in the book of Romans. It's chapter 15. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. The nice thing about journeying together is that we don't all have to be at the same place. For some of us this morning, I suspect some of us have never made personal decisions to say, Jesus, I want you as Lord in my life. And if that's where you are, you know what? That's not a bad place. That's your present reality. The nice thing about life is all of life is this journey of God introducing himself to us in such a way that we begin to long to have him. And if you would long to have Jesus become Lord of your life today, I would invite you to just come and meet with us after the service. Now, if I was saying this 40 years ago, I would say, raise your hand. And then after you raise your hand, I'd say, come to the front. And I would make a public thing of that. And you know, in my own soul, that's not a bad thing. You know why it's not a bad thing? Because it's not a bad thing to be bold about what you honestly long for. In our culture and in this day and age, we are taught to just be chameleons, that you don't have to be courageous. You can keep something secret. It's private. So I think I'm just going to give you the blessing of 40 years ago. And if you would like to ask Jesus to become Lord of your life, raise your hand. Is there anyone? I remember we used to hate these things because the guy at the front wouldn't stop. You know, it's like altar call 563. You know, we don't have enough up here yet. Let's ask him. Do another round. I remember sitting where some of you are sitting, and my heart pounded so loud. I could almost hear it in my body because I was saying, I want to do this. I want to do this. And I'm just suggesting, if you would like to do this, do it. Is there anyone? All right. It's a good day. It's a good day to enjoy Jesus. It's a good day to enjoy each other. It's a good day for a barbecue. So I invite you all to stay. We're going to end a little different today. We're going to close in a different way because it's not often that we add staff to Redemption Church. That's kind of a rare thing here. We say goodbye to a lot, but we don't say hi to too many. So, but we believe deeply that God gives us staff to actually help equip us and train us and help us to become stronger so that when we leave this place, we have levels of strength we may not have had before. Staff at Redemption aren't really here to run programs for us. Staff are here to equip those who long to step into positions of leadership and to be trained as leaders, and to be trained in different capacities. So if you volunteer, you know, 80% of our people volunteer here in one capacity or another. And we see it as our opportunity to invest in them. So we are given the opportunity this morning to pray for Kim. Because Kim's coming on. He's coming on 10 hours a week. He's going to be giving leadership to the whole teaching environment of our church, and also the training environment in our church. And we want to ask God's blessing on him as we set him apart and pray for his protection, pray for strength, pray that Kim will be strong. So Karen, why don't you join him? Come on up. We're going to pray for you. If you're board members, elders, if you'd like to join us, just gather around these two. This follows a pattern that we read about. Well, it's throughout Scripture, actually. But in the book of Acts, it talks on a couple of occasions how they just set aside people for leadership. And they prayed for them, and they blessed them, and then they just turned them loose. That's what we're doing this morning with Kim, and Karen is a vital link to the lifeblood in Kim. I can tell you this. Every good wife is that way for us. So, now, if there are others and you say, but I want to be part of this, pray and come on up. We're a family together. Let's journey together. Come on up. And we're going to set aside this couple for redemption. So Jesus, in times like this, I think we're not completely sure of what you have in mind. But we come now with great anticipation that you are doing something and that you have set Kim aside for such a time as this, in such a role as this, for his own growth, for his own development, but also, Lord, to use the gifts that you have given him and to multiply those gifts into the lives of other people. Mm-hmm. And so we bless him. We are thankful, Lord, for him. We are thankful for Karen and for how they have such a deep love for you, for this community, and also for each other. Would your favor rest on their home as they maneuver these next months and the multiple decisions that they're making? Would you come alongside them and let them recount your favor? Let them remember the God above all gods. And Lord, would you prosper them? Would you prosper them in all aspects of their lives? May their children be blessed. Would you speak deep into their lives, coming alongside and letting them hear your words of their preciousness, that you love them dearly? Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity today. And so we set aside Kim, along with Karen, for this ministry role, for your honor and for your glory and for the betterment of this community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.